Everything will be all right if you keep me next to you. By Accidentally Melted. Read by X-Men Hater. Amanda pushes her hood back from her face and shivers as bits of melting snow slide down her neck. The pub is warm and dimly lit, so she squints as she peers around, looking for Megan and Lee. They don't appear to have arrived yet, so she heads to the bar and perches on an empty stool, feeling herself slowly start to warm up. The bartender comes over after a few moments, slinging a towel over her shoulder. "What can I get for you?" she asks. "Whiskey lemonade," Amanda says, and the bartender begins mixing her drink. "That going on a tab?" she checks, sliding the drink over. "Yes," Amanda says, taking a fortifying sip of her drink. The bartender nods and moves off to deal with the group of rowdy young men at the other end of the bar. Amanda nurses her drink and watches the hockey game on the TV above the bar. The Wild are playing the Red Wings and winning. From what she can see, it's a pretty good game, plenty of scoring chances for both teams. She holds her breath as Parisi gets a breakaway, only to let it out in frustration when Mrazek gets him with the poke check. She's starting to wonder whether Megan and Lee are going to make it. The first period is over, and the second should be starting soon, when she feels someone come up behind her. She takes a deep breath and fights the urge to sneeze as the scent of cheap cologne abruptly becomes overwhelming.
"Hey, baby, come here often?"
She sighs internally before turning and looking him over. He's a couple of inches taller than she is, with medium-length brown hair parted on the side, wearing a pink polo, tan shorts, and a smirk someone probably told him was attractive once. She's never seen him before, but she recognizes the type. She pastes a polite smile on her face. "Not really," she says, and turns back to the game. He doesn't take the hint, leaning up against the bar and looking up at the television.
"Oh, are you a hockey fan?"
he says, sounding surprised. Amanda grits her teeth, knowing what comes next.
"Who's your favorite player?"
Amanda tilts her head to the side to make it look like she's thinking about it. After a moment, she decides, "Julie Chu." Pink polo shirt looks confused, so Amanda elaborates. "She's on the Olympic team, and she plays for the Montreal Canadiens."
"Oh,"
he says, and looks nonplussed. She keeps her eyes trained on the TV, even though the game has gone to commercial for the moment, not wanting to encourage him. Unfortunately, he rallies after a few moments and leans further into her space.
"Can I buy you a drink?"
Amanda pointedly lifts her half-full glass of whiskey lemonade and brings it to her lips. "No thanks," she says. She's still watching the TV, but she shifts on her stool, trying to move farther away from him without letting him notice what she's doing.
"Are you here with someone?"
he asks, and Amanda bites her lip on several scathing rejoinders, not wanting to deal with the scene. "Yes," she says, finally turning away from the TV to scan the bar for Megan and Lee. She can't spot either of them, and her heart sinks. "My friends will be here any moment," she says, and hopes like hell it's true. She's not sure where they are, and she's already planning to give them a hard time about it. They had been the ones who insisted on coming out. "We never see you anymore," Megan had said, and Lee had done her best to look tragic in the background. Amanda had rolled her eyes. "You see me every day," she'd retorted. "We work together."
"But you haven't come out with us in months,"
Lee had said, rolling her chair over to join Megan at Amanda's desk.
"It's like you don't love us anymore."
Which had made Amanda feel guilty, because she hadn't been out with them in months, but she couldn't tell them why she hadn't been able to come out. She'd sighed and mentally resigned herself to giving up her only night off this week. "Fine, I'll come," she'd said, and had to bite her lip to hold back a smile as Lee and Megan cheered. Pink polo shirt leans forward, a look on his face that Amanda thinks is supposed to be seductive. She scoots back on her stool as much as she can and tries not to wince when he asks,
"Wouldn't you rather hang out with me?"
Amanda looks over his shoulder and happens to make eye contact with the gorgeous tall brunette who's apparently heard the whole thing, if her sympathetic expression is anything to go by. Amanda widens her eyes in a plea for help, and the other girl blinks and shrugs, slipping off her stool and coming over. Amanda looks back at Pink Polo Shirt and says, with as much faux regret as she can fit into her voice, "Sorry, no, my girlfriend is meeting us here too." Pink Polo Shirt has just enough time to look skeptical before the gorgeous brunette comes up from behind him and slings an arm around Amanda.
"Hey, babe," she says breezily. "Sorry I'm late."
She leans over the bar and flags down the bartender without letting go of Amanda, who smiles up at her gratefully.
Over the girl's shoulder, she can see Pink Polo's shirt look disappointed, but he finally takes the hint and goes back to the rest of his group. Amanda lets out a sigh of relief, and the girl grins down at her. "He gone?" she asks, and Amanda slumps a little on her stool, putting her elbows on the bar and burying her face in her hands. "Yes, finally. Thank you," she says, taking her face out of her hands to look up earnestly at the girl. "I thought he'd never get the hint. Thanks for the rescue."
"I saw," the other girl says and smiles. "It was my pleasure, really. I'm Hillary."
"Amanda," she holds her hand out and Hillary shakes it as the bartender comes back with the beer Hillary must have ordered. "So what do you do when you're not rescuing damsels in bars?" Hillary tips her head back and laughs. Amanda watches the way her eyes and nose crinkle up and thinks, shit.
"I'm a personal trainer," Hillary says once she's done laughing. "I work over at the big gym on Fifth Street."
She grins again, her teeth flashing sharply.
"It's fun. I get to torture people for a living. How about you?"
"I'm a physical therapist up at the hospital," Amanda says. "So I, too, torture people for a living." She raises her glass in a toast, and Hillary clinks her beer bottle against it.
"So you follow the CWHL?"
she asks, and Amanda feels herself light up. They're debating the merits of the Boston Blades versus the Calgary Inferno when Megan and Lee finally walk in the door, shaking themselves free of snow. Amanda is busy making a point about Haley Wickenheiser being the greatest living female hockey player, so she doesn't notice them until Lee waves and catches her eye. She and Megan are both grinning, and Lee waggles her eyebrows and gives Amanda a big thumbs up while Megan mouths "hot" at her and fans herself. Amanda blushes and looks down, and Hillary cuts herself off in the middle of her response, which seems to boil down to, "But she's Canadian."
"Something wrong?"
she asks, twisting around to look over her shoulder, and Amanda covers her face with her hands.
"Nothing, just my friends being embarrassing," she mutters.
She looks back up at Hillary, feeling her face practically glowing red.
"I'm sorry."
"No worries,"
Hillary says cheerfully.
"So do you need to hang out with them, or..."
She trails off, looking hopeful. Amanda shrugs, trying for casual.
"Well, they're already almost half an hour late. They don't deserve me," she says, tossing her hair over her shoulder and sitting up straight.
Hillary's smile is bright enough to power a generator for a moment, and then her face falls.
"Ah, damn," she says, pulling her phone out of her pocket and glaring at it. "I have to go, I'm sorry. Could we maybe do this again sometime?"
She makes a face.
"Without the creepy dude or me having to duck out early?"
"Yes, please," Amanda says without thinking. She's not sure how they'll be able to do this again. Her schedule doesn't lend itself to free evenings very often, but she'll figure something out.
She reaches into her own pocket and pulls out her phone, holding it out.
"Here, give me your number and I'll text you."
Hillary takes the phone and starts typing, and Amanda feels something buzz in her other pocket. She groans mentally, but doesn't take the other phone out to look at it yet. Hillary gives her phone back and hugs her quickly before ducking out of the bar. Amanda takes a deep breath and finishes her drink before reaching into her pocket and pulling out the other phone.
"Building on fire at 22nd and Madison," the text from HQ reads. "Lioness and Kestrel requested. Please respond ASAP."
Amanda scowls down at the screen. The lioness has already responded with, "I'm on my way." So she sighs and responds with,
"It's supposed to be my night off, but I'll be there. ETA 7 min.
She waves goodbye to Lee and Megan on her way out the door, ignoring the wolf whistles that follow her, and starts jogging towards 22nd and Madison, planning her route so that she'll be able to duck into a bathroom on the way and change into her costume. The steady wail of fire sirens echoes in Amanda's ears as she skims along 22nd towards the fire, using her telekinesis to move herself faster than she could run. She shivers as she goes and makes a mental note to look into getting a winter costume. Skin-tight spandex may be the superhero norm, but it's just not practical for winters in Minneapolis. The fire sirens are far away, getting closer, but not here yet. She skids to a halt at the corner of 22nd and Madison. Her mouth drops open at the sight of the firefighters' museum, which has flames dancing in the windows.
"Someone has an overdeveloped sense of irony,"
she mutters, cautiously moving closer. She hears a splash and looks down at puddles that used to be snowdrifts.
"At least I'm not freezing anymore in this costume," she thinks, wry. "But why would they send us here? The fire department's perfectly capable of handling this."
She sees the pair of cars sitting in the parking lot just as she's thinking this and says out loud,
Shit. Well, she was wondering why they'd been summoned. People trapped inside a burning building definitely rates a superhero team. She's backing up and reaching out with her powers to open the door when she hears a familiar voice behind her say, "You got here quick." "You're late," Amanda retorts, turning around to grin at the lioness, who's standing behind her in her distinctive yellow and black hooded costume. The grin morphs into a frown at the sight of the three rips in the costume near the lioness's chest, parting gifts from an overenthusiastic bank robber with a knife 2 days ago. "I thought you were going to get those fixed." The lioness shrugs and plucks at her costume disinterestedly.
"I meant to, kept forgetting. And the rips go away when I shift, anyway."
She cocks her head at Amanda and gestures at the building.
"You gonna open that or what?"
Amanda sticks her tongue out at the lioness, but turns back to the building and reaches out for the door, yanking on it sharply with her powers. It resists for a moment. Locked, she thinks distantly, then pulls free. Flames roar out through the opening, reaching hungrily for fuel, then subside after a long moment when they don't catch on anything.
"More oxygen means it'll be burning faster," Amanda calls to the lioness, who nods, already moving towards the building and shifting,
her skin turning gray and looking thicker, tougher, harder to burn.
"Split up," the lioness yells to be heard over the roaring hiss of the flame. "And can you do anything with your mask to block the smoke?"
"I'll go left," Amanda yells back, pulling at her mask to try and get it to block her nose and mouth. And they dart into the building, separating at the first fork in the hallway. She's instantly soaked in sweat, the heat overwhelming, and her eyes water in the smoky air. Amanda thanks all of her lucky stars that the museum is only one story as she goes from room to room, wishing that her powers stretch to being able to sense things through obstacles. Unfortunately, she can only move things that she can see, so she has to check all of the rooms manually. She finds someone in the last room off this hallway, a man crouched underneath a metal desk, sobbing in terror. Over the roar of the fire, Amanda can hear the wail of sirens. The fire department is here, but it's probably too late to save the building. The walls are groaning, and she's heard the ceiling creak a couple of times. She pulls the man from underneath the desk, and when he's still stiff in terror, she slings him over her shoulder and forces her way out of the door at the end of the hallway. It's hard to open, too. Locked again. Why? She wonders, but it's no match for her powers. They burst out into the clearer night air and are immediately pulled off to one side by the paramedics. Amanda hands her burden over gratefully and waves off the offered oxygen mask. She doesn't need it immediately.
"Has the lioness come out yet?" she asks.
The paramedics alternately look confused and concerned, which Amanda takes as a no. The confusion irritates Amanda a little bit. Kestrel and the lioness are a team, damn it, and you don't just get one without the other. She turns and runs back into the building before any of them can say anything. She hears a shout from behind her, but she ignores it, pushes down anything else, because the lioness is good, and she's fast and strong and smart, and she's fine. Of course she's fine. She has to be fine. Amanda sprints through the building, her lungs burning in her chest through a combination of the exertion and the smoke. She turns down the hallway that the lioness had taken and pelts down it, looking around wildly as she goes. Everything looks strange in the angry, dancing light of the fire, which is why it takes her several seconds to recognize the sprawled lump on the floor as the lioness. She's fallen awkwardly beside a pile of debris and isn't moving, and Amanda's heart seizes in her chest. She looks around, going to the end of the hallway and checking every room, but she can't see anyone else, so she grabs the lioness and scrambles for the nearest exit, which turns out to be an unlocked door, the first one Amanda has found. She files that thought away for more examination at a later date and hauls them both out and away from the building. The fire department have set up their trucks and hoses and have streams of water aimed at the building, but Amanda can tell they're more focused on containing the fire than trying to put it out. Amanda stumbles over a curb and gets caught by a pair of paramedics who take the lioness from her and immediately start checking her over. Another pair come over and start trying to take care of Amanda. She goes along with them, but all of her attention is still on her partner. One of the paramedics working on the lioness starts to remove her hood, and Amanda jerks herself away from her team of paramedics to stop him. "No," she starts to say, and he looks over at her, and then back down at his patient and seems to realize what he was about to do. He shakes his head ruefully and instead pulls out a pair of scissors and cuts holes in the hood so that he can get at her nose and mouth to hook her up to the oxygen mask. Amanda relaxes slightly and allows herself to be pulled back over to her own paramedics to be fitted for her own oxygen mask.
By the time she's been checked over and released, and scolded for running into a burning building twice by a formidable older lady, who reminds Amanda of one of her aunts, the lioness has recovered enough to sit up. Amanda makes her way over and peers worriedly at her, and the lioness smiles, looking tired.
"Heard you saved me," she says, her voice raspy.
Amanda reaches out to put a hand on her shoulder, but changes her mind halfway through. More rips have been added to her costume, and the skin underneath is red and angry-looking.
"I wish I hadn't had to," Amanda says frankly. "What happened?"
The lioness sighs, and one of her paramedics makes a scolding sound from where she's bent over her clipboard.
"Take it easy," she warns.
"I will,"
the lioness promises.
"Kes, I don't know. I thought I heard someone, so I went over to look, and the next thing I knew, I was waking up with an oxygen mask on."
Amanda starts slightly at the nickname. It's so close to her real nickname. She doesn't think the lioness or the paramedic notice, but she shifts around to try and hide it anyway.
"You'll be okay, right?"
"Slight case of smoke inhalation and some first-degree burns," the paramedic says, still not looking up from her clipboard.
"If she rests..." She shoots an irritated look at the lioness, who does her best to look innocent in her mask and ripped costume.
"She should be fine."
The lioness starts to laugh, but it turns into a burst of coughing halfway through. She leans back against the door of the ambulance and sighs. Her shoulders are slumped and her head is hanging forward.
"I'll be good," she croaks, and the paramedic shoots her an irritated glance.
"I'm sure," she says, and huffs, moving off.
Amanda hovers for a moment, then comes over to perch next to the lioness.
"Something's not right," she says, frowning at the burned-out shell of the museum.
Flames are still dancing in the windows, but the way the firefighters are moving around it means they've gotten it under control.
"This whole thing feels wrong. The doors. Something weird was going on with the doors."
"What do you mean?"
the lioness asks, still sounding hoarse. She leans forward, peering around the back of the ambulance.
"Hold that thought. I think the police are here. We'll have to give a statement."
"Ugh," Amanda says, leaning forward and groaning. "This is my least favorite part."
The lioness laughs, and it makes her start coughing again. Amanda winces.
"Sorry."
"Not your fault," the lioness says.
She stands up and pulls at her costume, grimacing at the state of it.
"Let's get it over with."
Sergeant Duggan takes their statements, frowning when Amanda mentions that there had been two cars in the parking lot when they'd arrived, and that all but one of the doors had been locked. She scowls when she hears that the lioness had thought she'd heard someone else in the museum and sighs.
"Thanks, you two. We'll take it from here."
The lioness tosses off a weary salute, and Amanda nods, and the two of them turn and start walking away from the crime scene. They walk a couple of blocks in silence before Amanda turns to the lioness.
"Make sure you take it easy," she says, frowning at her. "Don't make it worse."
"Aw, you're sweet," the lioness teases, and Amanda feels her cheeks pink up.
She shivers in the renewed cold, and the lioness looks over at her with concern.
"What?"
"It's cold," Amanda complains. "How do you stand it?"
Through the hole in the lioness's hood, Amanda can see a flash of teeth.
"I've shifted so that I've got a seal's layer of insulating blubber," she admits, and Amanda pouts.
"Unfair," she grumbles. "Stupid shapeshifters."
"What are you talking about? You can fly," the lioness retorts,
and Amanda crosses her arms over her chest, rubbing at them.
"So can you."
"Yeah, as a bird. Not quite as impressive."
The lioness makes another quiet sound of amusement and frustration as Amanda shivers again, harder.
"Come on, Kes, get out of here. Go warm up."
Another flash of teeth.
"I'm sure I'll see you again soon."
"Hopefully not too soon. They owe us an actual day off," Amanda says, and the lioness makes a sound of annoyed agreement.
Amanda takes the hint, though, and uses her telekinesis to lift herself off the ground and start flying home, waving at her partner as she goes. She has to stop off along the way to pick up her other clothes, but the lioness is right. It's much faster than walking. She jumps in the shower as soon as she gets home to try and get the smell of smoke out of her hair and throws her costume in the wash, making a mental note yet again to try and get a winter version of it from her supplier. While she's drying her hair, she checks her phone. She has a message from Hillary, which makes her smile. At least tonight wasn't a total loss, she thinks, checking it.
"Hey, Amanda. It was great to meet you tonight." Smile. My friends and I play pickup hockey Thursdays after work. Would you be interested in joining us?
Amanda feels her smile blossom into a grin that has possibly too many teeth in it.
Sounds great.
The end.